Grab your Bibles. You're going to want to see this for yourselves. Thank you, Lord. So, were you here last week? What last time I taught? 3 weeks ago? Were you here 3 weeks ago? Were all you all here 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? I think so. I think you guys were for sure. All right, so what we were talking about before was, let's just go to Romans chapter 6 and look at it real quick, verse 13. And that'll be a good jump off scripture for what we're going to expound on today. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says something very wonderful. And I used to always focus on the first part of this verse, and the Lord has brought it to my attention, the second part of this verse, which is really important, or the middle of it, rather. And verse 13 of Romans 6 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And that phrase right in the middle there, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. I had to really check that verse out. And it means to live a resurrected life, to live already raised with Christ. So for me, that created a conundrum, a little friction inside of me. It's, well, how do I do that? How do I live as though I've already been resurrected to God? How do I live that way? And that started me on a little bit of a journey on looking at this stuff so that we realize that the Bible's true, don't we? Can we all say that we believe that the Bible is true? And if the Bible says something that doesn't make sense to me, then I'm the object that needs to be reshaped or changed, not the Bible. And if it says something is true, is it true whether I can see it or not? Is it still true? So it's up to me that I get more light, more revelation, that it can be real for me. Because the world doesn't show us the revelation of God. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to show us the truth of God. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I just lift up your Bible to you today, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for every word that is written in it. I thank you for the hearts and minds of everyone that is hearing us today, Lord, that they would be opened, that they'd be good ground, Father, noble ground, Father, prepared to be transformed by the seeds that are being planted of your word, Father. Father, I thank you that you are working with us always, whether we know it or not. You're constantly and continually teaching us and beckoning us to yourself, Lord. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your unrelenting love, Lord, that you pursue us because you know the value of having a relationship with you. And Father, I ask that if there's any hindrance in the hearts or minds of the people that hear my voice right now, Lord, that they would be removed. Any troubles and anxieties, pains or sorrows, Father, that get in the way of being able to hear with open ears and open hearts, Lord, I just tell it to be calmed and quieted now in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that each and every word that you have put into this book would be transforming to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to tell you, I love the Bible. I just really love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? Then say it. I love the Bible.
I love the Bible.
It's a good book.
It's a good book.
Amen. So can you ever get tired of reading this? I can. I get tired of reading it sometimes. Then I got to go pray or have some fun or something. But you know what? I always come back. You know, sometimes I get stuck in reading the same kind of stuff all the time. It's like going to the same restaurant or cooking the same kind of food all the time. Every so often you get a little tired of it and you want something different, right? Same with the Word of God. Every so often we got to start looking at something different that we didn't look in before. You know, if you forget that the Bible is exciting, read Numbers or Leviticus for a while. And you go, well, that other stuff was pretty good. I liked it a lot. And get back into it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy, it's a good book, long, but it's very powerful. So the middle of this verse 13, it says that we are to present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And I want to tell you that that right there has been a key diving board for me diving into the Word. And I've seen so many things lately because of that. But I want you to think about this thing. So we've got that. Let's hold that in our heart. And let's go ahead and look at another verse that's in the Bible. And then I can start putting these things together. Because, again, it's to put an identity inside of us, to shape how we see ourselves. Because I wonder if you guys can agree with me if I say this. The way I believe about myself and the things that I believe are true is the way that I live my life. Is that true for you guys? The things that I believe about myself is the way that I'm going to interact with other people. And the way that I call it, the way that I see the world around me, is going to be the kind of attitude that I carry as I interact with everybody. Yes or no? So, if the world has been teaching us, and if we have not been in fellowship with God, and it's the spirit of this world that has been the one influencing us, then it would be very simple to say that the way I see myself is according to the way I see all the rest of the people in the world. I'm one of them. They're one of me. We're the same. It would be easy to do that. We need to not do that, which isn't easy, because the Bible says that the world recognizes those who are in the world. They can hear us. If you're in the world and you're speaking to the world hears you and understands you. But if you're of God, the world doesn't understand you. It doesn't. It thinks you're crazy. A peculiar people. So now we need to reconcile. Is it okay for me to let people think I'm crazy? Oh, we say yes. I know we do say yes. But when I'm in Walmart, is it okay for the people in Walmart to think I'm crazy? Not because I'm acting out, but just the things that I talk about and how I relate to them. The things they hear me saying. Then it's a wonder, do I hold it back or do I share it? So, the Bible says, let's look at this real quick. Look in Matthew 12 with me, 34. Matthew 12, 34. And in Matthew 12, verse 34, it starts out with a wonderful exhortation. Brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'll read 35. It won't be up there. It says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So he's telling these people, this brood of vipers, that out of what's inside of their heart, that's naturally filling their hearts, they're going to be judged by what comes out of their mouth. Because out of the abundance of what fills your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth, right? And so we get to see what's really in us by what we say. And I'm talking about the abundance, the overflow, the stuff that just kind of pops out. That stuff. Maybe you can relate to me. I'm going to expose me a little bit here. There are times when something's bothering me. And instead of just getting in the Word, or instead of just coming against it and saying, that's not true. Just because I feel it and see it all around me right now, that's not true. Instead of doing that, sometimes I let it just kind of be in there. And then I find myself thinking about it. And I start talking to myself on the inside. And I start saying things inside. Nobody hears me. And then I start talking to the Lord about how this person's been doing me wrong, or this or that or the other thing. And I'll tell you, within a little while, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour of this going on, the words that come out of my mouth are negative words. Not good words. And I thought to myself, I go, why is it when I actually do voice a word, why is it negative instead of a blessing? And I thought, oh, because there's still stuff in my heart that the world has woven inside of me, and I still look according to that perspective. Can you relate? You know, the Bible talks about the good grounds, and there's four different kinds of ground. And I think that in me, when I look at myself on how I walk in the spirit or according to the flesh, I think that there's parts of my heart that is good ground that I've worked on. And there's some other parts that are still stony ground that I haven't worked on so much. And those, you can tell me things about God and who I am, but they just drop right away because I haven't really manicured my heart in that area yet. And so the place that I have manicured my heart, I have great, great results. Like this, when you do a garden, you don't just dig a hole in your briar patch or in your grass and just stick a seed of something valuable that you really, really want. Just in that, do you? When you have precious seed, good seed, valuable seed that you really want, what do? You groom the ground. You take out the things that are going to choke it, are going to overshadow it, are going to steal the nutrients from it. And what do? You get that stuff out. And when you get that stuff out, then you can put the really valuable seed in, and you know that it has the best chance of really growing and producing, right? So the weeds, the briars, the sticks, the stones, where did they come from? They were just there because it's part of the world. That's the way the world is. It's just there. It wasn't like somebody came in evil and put it in there. No, it's there. If you take your dirt, I've done this enough times, and I've rototilled all my dirt. The grass or the weeds or whatever it was, and I rototilled it. Beautiful. It looks perfect. What good ground. And then it rains. And it rains for 2 days. And then the sun comes out. And then before I get a chance to even do anything, stuff is growing. And I'm going, all right, stuff is growing. Maybe it's watermelons. Maybe it's peach trees. Oh, maybe it's okra. I said that for you guys. I hate that stuff. No offense. I just don't like it. You know, maybe it's tomatoes. You know, and sure enough, I let it grow up. And you know, no, it's weeds. Dang. I thought I got rid of all of those. But it's just there. It's in the ground. I've done other places where I've cleaned out parts of my forest. And I clean it all out, and I bulldoze it, and I tear the dirt out, and then I put other dirt in there, and I level it all out, and I take all the time to do all that stuff. The rains come, and the little bit of water streams down through there. A little tiny bit of just groundwater goes in that low area. And do you know what? Bog plants start growing there. And there was never a bog before. But the bog plants start growing. I'm going, where did these come from? It was grass, but these are all bog plants. And I'm going, that's crazy. And what I realized is there's all kinds of things in that soil. But whatever the atmosphere or environment is most conducive for, that's what's going to grow naturally out of this world. I'm talking about your heart and your identity, even though I'm talking about the land around my house. Whatever is in you, the environment that you're in and around is what's going to spring forth what comes out of your identity, how you see yourself. There were no bog plants at all in that area. But when the water started coming through and it just stayed there on a regular basis, kept that ground moist all the time, and it was shaded, it was conducive for those bog plants to come. And they were never there before. Same with us. If we associate with people of a certain mindset and a certain belief, there's going to be stuff that grows out of us from that environment. Are you with me? Good. So the world has put a lot of stuff in us just by being on the earth. And we need to take a look at anything that gets in the way of what we actually want to manifest in the world. How many of you want your body to always respond to healing? Raise your hands. Me too. So then am I putting into me and my identity that my body must respond to healing? I'm not saying should, must respond to healing. Or am I being a little bit lackadaisical in that area and just kind of hoping God will do it for me? Do I know how to get my body to respond to healing? Do I actually know how to do that? Am I comfortable doing that? Do I practice doing that? Is it important to me to manifest that? What's my level of focus and desire in that? Am I framing a life that I am healed in and that the people around me are healed in? When people tell me there's something wrong with them, is it okay with me that there's something wrong with them? Or is there something in me that rises up that going, devil is ripping them off right now and they don't even know how he is robbing them right now? What's my posture in that? What's your posture in that? And it takes us to actually lay a foundation, build on that foundation, groom that foundation and that building. Whenever you build a building, don't you make some choices? How the floor plan's going to be, what the fixtures are going to look like, what colors are going to be there, what kind of upgrades are you going to have? All of it, from the foundation to the roof to everything on the inside. Well, that's our hearts. That's our identity of who we are. And the Holy Spirit is in the renovation business, right? And so he's renovating us from the inside as we spend time in the Word and with him. He starts renovating our identity, right? Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Luke 6:45. Luke 6:45. It's talking about a tree that is known by its fruit, right? We've used this parable. And it says in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Right? So we have two voices. We have this voice that you hear right now and is being recorded. And then I have another voice that you can't hear unless this voice aligns with it. Are you with me? I'm going to tell you something really important right now. This voice on the inside of me is the real me. The eternal, everlasting me, the voice on the inside of me. The voice on the outside of me is the one I consciously share with you. Are you with me? So this voice can lie. That voice cannot. The inward voice cannot lie. It's impossible for it to lie. It cannot do it. Try it sometime. Even if you lie to yourself, you know you're lying to yourself, and you can call it, right? Because you can't lie to you, just like God can't lie. But the mouth can. That's why by our lips we're going to be justified what we say, and by our lips we're being condemned by what we say. Are you with me? So God, where's God at? In me. And he cannot lie. He cannot lie. Are you with me? So I want you to look at another scripture now. Is Christ in you? Raise your hand if Christ is in you. If you're driving a car, keep one hand on the steering wheel. Amen. Christ is in me. Christ is in you, right? He is. We would go to our graves and not deny that. Absolutely true, right? So if I want to know what God is like, where do I go to find out what God is like? Go ahead, shout it out, anybody. The Word. What else did I hear somebody say? In my heart. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you on the inside of you? He surely does. And he will talk to us if we will spend time talking with him. And he will say the same thing the Bible says. He might not quote it verse for verse, but he might. If you learned it verse by verse, he'll teach it to you verse by verse, and he'll use it verse by verse, if that's how you know it. But he can only tell you what you've heard, seen, or understand. If he tells you anything more than that, you shred it. It doesn't sink in. It's stony ground. It's hard heart. It doesn't make any dent. It won't stick, because the identity that you have inside of you, there's no place for that piece of information. You don't believe it. There's nothing there. That's why we need to hear things over and over and over again. We get used to hearing it, and pretty soon we accept that it's around us. And then after a little while, something inside of us kind of releases a little bit, and it lets us kind of have a little introspection. And we can go. That's why we have to be speaking the word. Right? We have to speak the word. So when I was telling you that I would be musing over things and thinking about them and complaining to God about this thing or that thing, and I'm blah, 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 they did me wrong, blah, 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 out of my mouth will come things like, I don't know why they did that to me. It's like, why did I say that instead of, Lord, I forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Why? Because the perspective, the way I was seeing it. So when a pain comes or a trouble comes, and it's small, it's little, it's not a nagging, terrible hurt, it's a little thing. Do you nip it in the bud right now? Do you just rip it out and just rail on it and not give it the slightest right to be there? Or does it kind of just work on you a little bit? And then after a while, it works on you a little bit more. And then pretty soon, it's a nagging thing. And now when you try to go deal with it, it doesn't respond so easily. It's not leaving so quickly, because you've let it kind of build a little nest in your body, if I can say it that way. We have to be diligent, vigilant, to come against everything that is not exactly like Jesus. So now I'm going to kind of take you one step deeper. Are you exactly like Jesus? Don't answer me. Don't answer. Just think a minute. You're going to instantly do a self-assessment. as I ask you these questions, and you'll naturally do a self-assessment. I ask you not to say anything. Just let yourself do the assessment. And let me start sharing some stuff. And then you can start seeing some things, okay? So, are you exactly like Jesus? Don't answer me. If I asked you to describe yourself to me, don't answer me, just think. How would you describe yourself to me? Give you a second, think about it. How would you describe yourself to me? So if you were going to write a paragraph about yourself, what would you write? And different people approach it differently. So what determines, unless you're given instructions and you just leave it very ambiguous, just write a paragraph about yourself and describe yourself. Leave it just loose like that. People automatically are going to show you their perspective, where they lie in their understanding and their identity. If a person is not constantly renewing their mind, they will most likely go to the natural flesh and describe themselves according to the flesh, because they identify as flesh. But if you're constantly in the Word and constantly grooming yourself, you might switch over to describing yourself as attributes such as righteous, holy, trustworthy, honorable, diligent, truthful, dependable. These kinds of things you might shift on how you describe yourself. Are you with me? It depends on where the natural flow of your heart and mind go. It's my goal to get you to seriously get focused and start building on who God says you are. We do a good job. We need to do a great job, though. An excellent job. Because the more we do it, the less this world and the things that are coming in the future will destabilize us. Are you with me? Okay, so let's look at a couple of verses. Would you go with me, if you please, to James chapter 3? James chapter 3 is talking about the tongue, about what an unruly member it is. And as I started today, it's like a little flame, and it can light the entire world on fire. This little tiny thing right here, it has such power. It literally determines the direction of your life. This thing right here. It sets your future in motion by how it's steered by this little member in your mouth. So how is it? So many of us are very ambiguous in the way that we just kind of let life happen. We have some general big choices to make, but pretty much it's kind of in a flow, in a groove. We got some little desires of maybe what we want, and then we're going to kind of groom those a little bit. I don't think we really realize how much real power we do have on what the course of our life is going to be like and what it has been in the past, that we take responsibility for what it has been. Because so often we think that other people have power to determine our future. Yes or no? Yes. But I want to let you know that's not true. Pastor Robert, how can you say that's not true? I'll say this, your mother and your father, they set your path in motion because you were being raised by them and you learn by what's modeled to you. Not necessarily what's being said, what's being modeled to you. What you see happening around you. What's acceptable, what's unacceptable. That's what actually shapes you. People can tell you words, but what shapes you is what you experience, what's around you. And when your formative years are created, the things you believe about your parents are the things you're going to believe about other people. And the way you see it, you're going to recreate that environment over and over and over. Why? Because that's your world. That's the way you've been set up. And so you're going to keep reproducing that in your life, unless you deliberately don't do it. Unless you deliberately end it, you uproot everything and then start again fresh. Like when you get born again. All of a sudden, we're looking at a different way of getting our truth from. That's why the world doesn't understand us, because we're looking at it an entirely different way. Are you with me? James, verse 9, chapter 3. We're talking about our tongue. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been what? My Bible says, made in the similitude of God. Is that true? Wait a minute. Is that true that people have been made in the same way, same image, the same mold as God? It says in the Old Testament, in the beginning, in Genesis, that we're made in the likeness and image of God, right? And then James says we're made in the similitude of God. That's a same image, a copy, the same kind, a similitude of God. Is that true? All right. So, I ask you again, don't answer me. Are you just like Jesus? If you're not, you might have some old programming in you still. You might. And so then how much of that old programming is acceptable to you? Not to anybody, to you. Because I want to let you know something. We're going to read a verse in the Bible that's going to stretch you, and I just want you to be prepared that it's true. It's really true. And it's going to take some work to let it bear fruit in our lives. I've read it before, but I want to emphasize it today. If you go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Just a couple pages away. This is really exciting. This is the stuff where you can say yes in your head, but then when you're living out of your heart, what are you saying in your heart when you get in difficult situations? This is one of those verses that has to get down in our hearts. Ready? Verse 2. Beloved, when I die and go to heaven, I will be a child of God. No? When am I a child of God? Now. If you're born again, now you're a child of God. Right? So do children grow up to be like their parents? Do their parents model who they are? And the children get their identity from their parents? So if we're a child of God, then where do we get our identity from? Our Heavenly Father. So if we're building the similitude of God and the image and likeness of God, then that's kind of what we are. The world can't handle that at all. They think you're crazy. They can't hear that. Okay? That's how you're going to be different. So what does the next part say? And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So does that mean we have room to grow? Room to be transformed? Room to be greater and more excellent than we can estimate or regard ourselves to be just yet? Yes. There's more to us than we're experiencing at this moment. And I want to let you know, there's much more to us. Because if we've looked at the world to get our identity, and we've let the typical way of human thinking groom who we are, then there's a lot of stuff about us that we do not experience yet, because we're letting the world tell us who we are instead of our Heavenly Father teaching us who we are. Right? Are you with me? So, it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him. Is that exciting or what? So, when Jesus cracks open the heavens, he's going to be revealed, and we're going to be like him. How are we changed? Are you changed because Jesus takes the dial and turns up the wattage of the anointing, of the glory? Because he just unlocks your mind to the revelation of who you are. How are you actually transformed and changed into this person that is so much more than you're living in right now? The last part of this verse says it. It says this, "For we shall see him as he is." So think about this. Really let it settle down inside of you. You were started off in this world seeing your parents how they are. And it shaped your reality of who you are. By the way, your parents modeled what's a dad, what's a mom, what's a man, what's a woman, how safe you feel in this world, how nurtured and cherished you were or not, how brutal and difficult this world is, how hard it is, or how blessed and wonderful it is. How some people were raised that favor follows them because they believe that they're valuable and worth it. Other people, because of the way they were raised, do not believe that about themselves. They believe it's hard and that people aren't going to like them and not going to want them. Why? Because their mother and their father and their environment they grew up in shaped them in that. So what does that prove to us? It proves to us that we become what we see. The way we see it is how we be it. That needs to be a t-shirt. Somebody make a t-shirt. The way I see it is the way I be it. And that's the truth. We're created that way. And this verse absolutely confirms it. That when we see Jesus, we will be like him. Because we'll see him as he is. And when I see the one that I have the same image and likeness of, that I'm built in the similitude of, that I'm just like him, when I see him as more, I'll see me as more. I'll be just like him. You guys, that's a shout hallelujah. Because here's the thing. To the degree that you can know the Lord is a degree you'll be like the Lord. Is he living inside of you? Are you his temple? Does he teach you? Does he comfort you? Do you get your identity from him? Yes. And yet all of that is true. And you can walk right out this door, and by the time you're finished with lunch, you won't think that thought again. You'll go on talking to yourself, inside of yourself, being the only person having lack in your life or something that's not going the way you want it to. Because why? Those words have hit your mind, but they haven't transformed your life. What ground are you? Does it just go in and fall off? Or do you go, yeah, Pastor Robert, this is great, but you got no depth of root? And then when it comes testing time to prove that that's true, the pain doesn't leave, the sickness doesn't leave, the fever doesn't leave, because it's great information, but there's no depth of root in you yet. It hasn't been transforming yet. Or the cares of this world or the deceptiveness of riches, right? The things of your focus is on this world and being a part of this natural world, and that if I make enough money, I can have anything I need, and that if I make enough money, I can have the life that I think I belong in. So the money can provide the life that I belong in, and then I can fit in the world nicely. That will rob you. That will rob you. Because you are exactly as he is. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. This is a verse that we use a lot. Just one little section over in your Bible. So I'm going to hit 16, but then I'm going to back up and start reading in 4, and I'm going to read like verse 8 through 16. But I'm going to read 16 first. First John chapter 4. I'm going to do 8 through 16, but I'm going to start in 16. Perfect. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Right? So, what is God? Perfect. Perfect. So, if God is love, where's God? How do you manifest God? Loving people. The amount of love that you're able to release into the world is the amount that you know God. Because God is love. So when we're transformed into his likeness and image in a more radiant, more splendid way, it's going to be more love. We'll be able to embrace and encompass so much more. Okay? When our eye is good, the whole body's full of light. How do you see the world around you? Is it, as some would say, going to hell in a handbasket? Or do you see God working in people's lives? And do you see that God's transforming whole districts and areas? Do you see that the word is being planted in people's hearts? Do you see how transformation is taking place and you're seeing how the kingdom is manifesting and that God's people are coming together and building communities and safe spaces and helping one another and getting provisions for one another and building up natural resources for one another? How do you see the world? How do you look at it? If you got light, if you got love, then that's how you're going to manifest the Lord in the world, right? God is love. So when we're being transformed into his image and his likeness, when we're becoming more like him, it's more love. Isn't that the key thing of everything? Sure, there's spiritual gifts. Sure, there's healings. Sure, there's prophecies. Sure, there's words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues and interpretation of tongues, administrating, ruling, giving, all these things are true. But they're all less than love. Because without love, none of it means anything. Right? So I'm going to just stretch you a little bit more. Is that okay? Is that all right? You are love. If people want to know what love looks like, they meet you. You're the example of love on the earth. You're God's example of love. God chose you that the world would know what he is like. He made you in his likeness and in his image, in his similitude. And as we read the next verse right after this, it'll be 17. It says, I'll just read it real quick. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 17. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us. In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. God is love. And as we manifest the love of God in the world around us, we have absolute boldness in the presence of God. We won't be worried about any judgment or condemnation or criticism from God, because we're manifesting love in the world. His love. Not our love, his love. Right? So let's back up and start in verse 8 and read through 16. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might, that we might, what? Live through him. Pause. John chapter 3. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? John 17:3. Anybody know? Knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. This is eternal life. Knowing God is everlasting life. God is love. Can you be it? So Jesus is our life. The love of God is our life. So you can say love is your life. It's everlasting, unending life is love. Are you with me? The more you want to look like God, the more you know Jesus, the more you're really intimately aware of him, you manifest love. Not anointing, not spiritual giftings, not miracles. Love. All those things will actually be there. They just come along with it, right? We don't seek those things. They're there with it. And as we're manifesting the love of God and the love of people, the Holy Spirit will give you whatever spiritual gift you need at that moment to manifest him. Love. Some people need a word of encouragement. Some people are locked up tight as a drum and don't even know that God even loves them. And so he'll give you a word of knowledge about them to break through that barrier and that unbelief that, whoa, maybe God does know about me. Because they aren't able to connect with him, that he really does love them. It's just, he'll give you whatever you need at the moment to be able to convey that love, that they can receive the love and acceptance of God. Right? So we don't pray for people for healings because we want the power of God. It's as we love them and see that something's not functioning right in them that they can be set free to experience the fullness of the life of Christ. Right? Is this making sense? But if I don't see myself as fully Jesus, I'm not saying in some weird, egotistical, or arrogant way. I am saying in allowing God to be the fullness of who he is through me and you. Because that's who we are. But the pollution of the world condemns us and doesn't let us do that. It blocks us. Are you with me? That's why we have to fervently and deliberately pray in the Holy Spirit. Build ourselves up. Speak to one another. Pour it out. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Getting free instead of being clogged up. Living in our minds. We need to learn how to let it flow through us, right? All of us know that if a house has been tight down for a few months or a year or so, and nobody's used the plumbing, we all know that the first water that's going to come out is going to be junky water. And nobody's going to put their glass right under the very first faucetful when it hasn't been turned on in a few years, right? None of us would do that. We all know yuck is going to come out. It's the same way when we're learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Yuck will come out. Let it. But fresh, good, pure love will follow, right? What verse did I stop on? I've stopped on verse 9. That we might live through him, through Christ. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to do what? Love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And if love has been perfected in us, by this we know that we abide in him. So what's the qualifier? How do you know how much you know God? By the amount you love people. Really? How much do you want them included in your life? I'm going to be honest. Can I be transparent for a minute? Since we've got an easy hour of time left. Hey, that went over pretty well. Praise God. Nobody said a word. All right. Actually, just a couple of minutes. There was a time in my life when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I would pray for people and see them get healed. And I did not like people. I didn't like them. I tolerated them. I would be around them because I needed to be around them. But I actually liked my animals more. I'm just being honest. Because I had junk in my heart. I had wounding in my heart. And because I had that wounding in my heart and I never dealt with it yet, I didn't know how to really connect heart to heart with people. I lived out of a structured pattern of living out of my mind, and I knew how to relate to people, how to interact with people, how to do jobs with people, but when I could, I got away from the people because I didn't like them. I didn't hate them. I just couldn't really connect. Because life comes from our heart, not our head. And the Bible says that the life of God, we're strangers from the life of God when we live in the futility of our minds. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not in you, and it doesn't mean that God won't use you. It means that I don't have love. And it profited me nothing. I was still bound up. I was still a mess. Even though on the outside, I was funny, I knew a lot of stuff, I can interact with people, I had charisma. I was still a prisoner of my own heart because it was shut down on the inside. Because what I really thought about myself was not what I showed people. And I had to pray one day that the Lord would let me know what it is to love people, that I could actually love people. And when I genuinely prayed that from the depths of my heart with no one initiating it, I was completely by myself with the Lord. And I asked him sincerely, he patterned my life to where events would take place that exact thing would happen in my life. And now I love people. And now I have relations, heart to heart relationships. I really connect because I actually care now. I actually want people in my life. And I want them to last for eternity. I don't want it to be temporary. And I don't want it to leave. And I don't want to cry right now. I love people now. Because I have a genuine connection with God. Instead of a structured connection with God. Does that make sense? So since time is really waning, I just want to wrap it up. Without going into a lot of more stuff here, we need to really realize that the Bible says that we are to live our life as resurrected from the dead. We are to live as Jesus on the earth. That as he is, so am I. and that there's going to be more to me than I can realize right now. And as I see him, I will be more like him because I'll see him as he is. But at the moment, I've been measuring myself according to people. And I've been measuring myself according to the people of God. And I see people of God, and I aspire to being like that person of God. Or I see this gifting working in this person, and I aspire to the gifting. Or I see the generosity and the financial blessing, and I aspire to the financial blessing for the generosity. All of that is less than who I am. If I go straight for the punch, straight for the high impact, it's knowing him who is love. And when I really have the love of God and the love of people in me, then all these other things will be added to me. Because I've proven Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't say you'll work for them and get them. They'll be given to you. And I'll even give a brief testimony. In the last months, my relationship with the Lord has changed. And there's a certain release of stress and things like that, that I have really just allowed him to be God and to lead my life. I've stopped caring either way. Yes or no, both are fine. Which do you want, Lord? Have or do not have? Both are fine. Which one do you want, Lord? And when I do that, I find that more is coming and better quality is coming and greater peace is coming and better relationships are coming. Does that make sense? So I would encourage you that instead of talking to yourself on the inside, talk to the Lord. Train yourself to talk to him who's in you. And the more you get to know him who's in you, and through the Bible, it's got to be this and that. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people don't really know the voice of God yet. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I thought God led me here, and it didn't work out right. I thought God led me here, and it worked out perfect. I thought God was doing this and I followed him and it was wonderful. I thought God was telling me to do this. I did it. It was terrible. So I don't really know. So I have to have something else that helps me with that, which is this. Are you with me? This is printed. It doesn't change. It's the same for everybody. So as I'm learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, he's going to line up with this. And what is the root of it all? Love. We didn't read it, but I'll finish with this. How can you say you love God who you cannot see if you cannot love the people that are right in front of your face who you can see? So I'm going to leave you with this. What is it you say about the people around you? Is it according to the flesh or is it according to Jesus Christ? How do you see them? How do you acknowledge them? How do you encourage them? How is it you relate to them? According to Jesus Christ or according to the world and how they've been demonstrating the world? You get to choose. And the way that you choose is the reaction and interaction you're going to get from the people. Right? The ones that I choose to think the best of, say the best of, believe the best in, have the most patience for, include, and want are the ones that do the best around me. The ones that I try to control, the ones that I try to correct too much, the ones that I tell the way they need to do it, and that's not acceptable here, and whatever the case may be, I'm just giving some examples, they don't want to be around me. What kind of people do you like to be around? The ones that are just like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Has this helped anybody? It's something to think about, right? You are as he is. You are exactly the way He is. Allow yourself to be that. And anything that's not like Him, renounce it. Forgive Him. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. I love you guys. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every jot and every tittle, every line, every paragraph, every chapter, every book. Your word is true, Lord. Thank you for giving us these instructions, because, Father, our finite minds have got to learn how to be infinite. They've got to learn how to awaken, to stand up from the dead, and let you give us the light. Father, I just thank you that you are constantly working, never relenting, always transforming us, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And one last thing, Lord, I ask that everyone that can hear my voice, sometime today, give them an opportunity to consciously love somebody around them, to make a genuine, sincere effort to install love and acceptance into the people around them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look for it and see if He does it for you. Amen. See if He gives you an opportunity.